Over 500,000 people have been affected by flood-related crises in Nigeria. Some of the worst affected areas range from places in the northeast down to the northwest and now to the north central. Flooding is a huge cause of displacement in the country. Hello, welcome to The Crisis Room, a podcast from Human Angle. I am Hawa Shafi'i Nuhu, standing in for my colleague Mariam Mustafa. In this podcast, we look at crisis trends across the country and answer the tough questions around them. This week, I am here with my colleagues Kunle Adebajo and Murtala Abdullahi.
Hi Hawa, it's good to be here.
Hello Hawa.
Right, so I'm going to start with you, Murtala Abdullahi. And my first question is this. There has been a lot of conversation surrounding the flood issues in Nigeria this past week. Because starting from the cause to the effects and the response from the government. So we're going to talk about the causes. Do you think it is more a climate change problem or is it an urbanization or geographical problem?
Thank you very much, Hawa, for laying the ground rolling. In terms of the catastrophic impact of flooding across the country, it's quite a severe situation, not just in Nigeria, but including neighboring countries in the Lake Chad region. So as you listed in terms of the number, the Nigerian government has said that over 500,000 people have been affected. That number should have increased now rapidly because over the past few weeks, there's been more severe flooding in a lot of areas as the water is moving now from the upstream towards the downstream, and so it will be flooding a lot of communities along the floodplains, especially communities that are close to the major rivers, especially River Benue and Niger. Yeah, you mentioned something that is kind of pretty important. Is this climate change or human related? So the explanation is this could be both. And so when you look at it, a lot of the flooding happens along the banks. And so these are areas that are considered flood prone. They are within the floodplains. So these floodplains are actually high-risk areas, and usually people are supposed to leave those areas. And so also there's been urban flooding in places like Lagos, Kano. And part of what we've done, like at Human Angle, is to look at what's responsible for those kind of flooding. And we use geospatial data to analyze those things. And we found out that the issues around urban planning, destruction of natural flood control mechanisms, such as green areas and wetlands. So these green areas could be wetlands and forest areas. So it's a combination of two. So when we want to say it's climate change, we also have to refer to data. Although officials are also insinuating that this could be part of climate variability, and which is pretty, which could also be accurate, but yeah, data needs to be involved before we make a definitive a statement. So this will more likely be considered as a multifaceted flood disaster that is happening. And earlier this year, in fact, when you look at it earlier this year, the government had issued warning on flood-prone areas. NIMET provided rainfall data, while the National Hydrological Agency also provided a more precise flood risk assessment, categorizing the different local governments in Nigeria across high probability flood risk areas, moderate and low. So these were sufficient information to help the government at the local levels plan in terms of mitigation and response.
Okay, that's quite interesting. Kunle, picking up from where Murtala left, what's your assessment of what the response has been like from the emergency agencies and the government in general?
Thanks, Awa. What I have realized over the years, Nigeria has experienced like intense flooding disasters frequently in the past few decades. I think in 2012 and 2018 and again this year. And when you talk to the victims, the recurring response from many of them is that even though the emergency management agencies are trying to respond to their humanitarian needs, a lot of times their responses do not get to everybody. So the aid is not enough. And sometimes people have to wait several months before they see any sight of support from the government. And there have also been allegations that aid materials get diverted by the authorities. So when, say, private philanthropists, organizations, or even government agencies donate to certain communities, the donations do not get to, I mean, all of them do not get to those who are in desperate need of those items. So there have always been indications that, hey, some individuals cornered some of these items, and so the intention behind the donations do not get realized. So people hear, oh, we are donating 10 million naira, 15 million naira on the news, but on the ground, they are not seeing these things taking place. It's also the case that sometimes people camp in certain places. They convert public schools to camps because of the flood incident. But some of these camps are not recognized by the government. So when they are providing assistance, they do not take those support or assistance to the camps because they do not authorize or recognize them. So that's another problem that we've identified. So the government a lot of times will tell the victims to relocate from their environments that are vulnerable to flooding incidents. But the problem is the government often does not provide alternatives to say, okay, we are relocating you to this other place, or providing farmland for them to farm in these new places. So the people are at a loss, and they wonder whether it's better for them to stay and hope that perhaps in subsequent years the disaster would not be as bad or as terrible. I think one thing that NEMA has said is that sometimes the delays in providing support are due to the fact that they need time to profile the victims. So they need to go to the communities to ascertain the level of damage. They need to take a look at how many people are affected so that they can know exactly how to coordinate assistance. And this takes weeks, months, but people do not have that time to wait. They need immediate, urgent assistance. So I think it's important for the government to be better prepared and work towards, you know, potential disasters, and have mechanisms in place to make sure that the humanitarian needs of the victims are taken account of even before those disasters take place.
Wow, that sounds like a lot. Murtala, what do you think the government can do differently and better in terms of trying to manage the crisis?
Yeah, to build on what Kunle has said in terms of relocation and displacement. So recently, when you look at the situation in Adamawa, for example, there were also reports that people did not want to leave their community because they felt it was an ancestral home. There is also the fact that, as Kunle mentioned, that when you want to relocate people because of prior advisory, you need to also ensure that that's done in an organized manner, and that people don't actually get the full kind of awareness and education that they need, that they are only moving temporarily and not permanently and for their own safety. So it's quite huge. In areas, for example, also in the northeast, we have double displacement impact. You have people who have already been impacted by the 13-year-old insurgency in the region, which has caused displaced over 2 million people and left over 8 million in need of humanitarian assistance. And now you have a huge flooding disaster there, which have washed away farmland. So which means already there is food insecurity with weeks of malnutrition, so which means that the risk is going to increase. We have seen also the flooding increase across the country. More recently, there's been pictures and videos coming out from places like Kogi, Benue, and then also in the to the south of the country as the water tends to move downward. So it's something that the authorities need to escalate and respond faster, as Kulia has also highlighted. Although there's kind of like issues bureaucracy around who gets to respond, because there's clear line of duty for the National Emergency Management Agency and also the State Emergency Management Agency and also the local government emergency response team. So all these emergency bodies have their different responsibility, but it's important that it's done in an organized manner and the kind of financial support that they need. And though it's a bit difficult now to say you want to put in place short-term mechanisms to control the flooding, I think it's super important that authorities do that in areas where they can still prevent the flood from causing more catastrophe, and then begin to really think ahead of the long-term investment in terms of flood control that is required, whether in terms of urban areas or rural areas. So yeah, it's quite a tough situation for a lot of people.
Thank you so much, Murtala, for sharing. Thank you, Kunle Adebayo, for joining us as well. This has been insightful. This is an episode of Human and Will Crisis Room. Thank you for listening. I am Hawa Shafi Nuhu. Join us in the next 2 weeks for another episode. Members of our production team are Murtala Abdullahi and Anthony Asemota. The executive producer is Ahmad Salkida.